So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I am one half of this podcast, staff writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver and author of How to Fight Presidents and America's Uncle Joey, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hi. I mean, at this point, everybody knows what I do.
Yeah.
And it's not a lot, so it's fine. I'm just the other guy. I'm the other guy on the podcast. You'll like me eventually.
Yeah. So this is another Star Tune episode where I can immediately cross it off my list, because I'm always trying to think, like, what episode would be a good one to drop people into who'd never seen the show before? Immediately not this one. And that's good. So now I know I don't need to try for the rest of the episode. And that's been very freeing for me.
Good. Well, we should do that more often. Sabotage it right from the start. And yeah. Then you just know the rest of the time I could do whatever here.
Yeah.
Like it's all, I'm at the bottom. I can only go up.
Let's thank Honey for sponsoring this episode. These days, it feels like online shopping is the only shopping we really do. That's where Honey comes in. It's the free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best one available at checkout. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ.
Hey, everybody. Thank you for listening. And thanks to Raycon for supporting Quick Question. Get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. Raycon's offering you 15% off your entire order, and here's all that you got to do. Go to buyraycon.com/QQ. That's it.
Before we get into the show where we ask each other questions, we haven't done a COVID check-in for a while. Things are starting to return to some version of multiple asterisks normal.
Yeah.
And for my update, I was on a plane.
What did you watch?
Old episodes of Parks and Rec.
Oh, you watched television?
Yeah.
How they pedestrian. Didn't have, like,
yeah. It was, so listeners know that I was in Utah recently, and I flew there. It was my first time flying in a very long time. And the experience has not changed. It's still very crowded. It's still awful. I still hate it. And now everyone's wearing masks. And you're not allowed to get food or drinks on the plane anymore.
Yeah, I was going to ask. Yeah. I got a flight coming up in July, and I didn't understand how it works with... are you allowed to drink your own water?
Yes.
Okay.
And they give you... At the start of the trip, they gave us a little packet that was like, here is a small water bottle, a small salty thing, and a small sweet thing. And that's what you get for the flight.
Okay. But you are allowed to take your mask off briefly to consume.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. That's comforting, I guess.
I think, and you know, I was watching the news yesterday because airlines is one of the industries that they're so severely understaffed because they've opened up abruptly, and it seems like everyone had the same idea of, like, now that pandemic is closer to over than it's ever been and people can start taking trips again, everyone's doing it. Everyone's vaccinated, everyone's flying, and airlines just can't hire people fast enough. And they can't keep people because working for airlines really sucks, apparently. And a lot of people who are laid off or who quit don't want to come back. And there have been two stories that came out of this that were very interesting to me. One of them is that airlines are asking, like, their, like, office workers, like Delta and United office workers. They're like, hey, will you just come and work at the airport for a while and do, like, airport jobs? Because we just need bodies to do these jobs. That's one crazy thing. I said two, but there's three. A second one is a lot of people are getting immediately promoted to full-time and working, like, holidays and overtime. So there's more pay, but also everyone's miserable. And a third update that will be more applicable to our listeners, possibly, is that a lot of the airlines are... They stopped alcohol service on flights during COVID because they were stopping all food and drink service. And a lot of them are extending that process because people get drunk and belligerent on planes. And that was on the rise during COVID because people would be getting drunk and then fighting about masks.
Yeah.
And so they're just like, you know what? We're going to just stop serving alcohol on planes. No one said that forever yet, but that seems to be where the tide is going, because they're just like, it's a shitty job. We can't keep people do it to do it. And one way that we might be able to entice some people back is we will remove the possibility that passengers will get drunk and yell at them and treat them inhumanely.
When I don't fly somewhere, it's because I fucking hate Spirit and every single airline like it. Not because I'm worried that at some point there might be a man behind me who will scream at a flight attendant.
Yes.
But I guess that's a concern for some people. Well, that's fair that they can't keep people employed. I never understand how the airlines stay in business. It seems like their margins are razor thin.
And too big to fail. You gotta have planes.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But they, like, they're constantly going into bankruptcy, right? Mm-hmm. And then the way that they solve those problems is that they add 14 new seats to a plane that can't hold 14 new seats.
Yeah.
We're flying to Minnesota this summer for a wedding, and we're flying on an airline. I guess I shouldn't even say the name of it, but we're flying on an airline that charges per bag, but then also charges per carry-on.
This has got to be Spirit. There's no way around it.
It's not Sun Country.
It's not? Wow.
Yeah. I don't think they'll ever sponsor us. I think we're fine if I burn that bridge. Pisses me off. But I'm very nervous about those flights. One of the worst flights we ever had with Ronan was he was almost exactly Gilly's age. And it was to Minnesota. So it's a nice long flight. And at an age where a child is mobile but doesn't understand why they're not allowed to run around. And so it just is this terrible perfect storm. It's like it would be easier to catch a wild raccoon and bring it on the plane and just sort of let it go.
I mean, easier for you, it sounds like.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
But we did try it. Last time we brought these goodie bags, which I think is a really good idea.
For the other passengers?
Yeah, the people who sit immediately near you. You have a bag that's got in it candy, ear guards is not the right word.
Ear cages.
Yeah. Those little foam things you stick in your ear. What the fuck is that?
Is this really happening? Earplugs.
Yeah, earplugs. That's the word. We have earplugs. We put Advil in there as like a ha-ha. We've just made these little goodie bags for the people next to us. And I think it's a very ingratiating thing. Like the people, as soon as, even if your kid is screaming or whatever, they'll forgive a lot more if you're like, I thought this might happen. I'm so sorry here. And you just show some modicum of consideration to other people around you. Because people who don't have kids, you fly near kids. I know what it's like. I used to not have children. And I was like, just don't go anywhere. Wait till your kid is 16 and then you can travel. And it's just not as feasible when you actually have them. You have to go places. You know your kid's not going to be great on it. You know that their ears are going to pop when they take off and when they land, and the kid's not going to understand what's going on, and they're just going to cry. And you just got to mentally prepare for those 3.5 hours and be like, okay, these will be bad.
I think because I've never had a really great experience flying, like it's always been uncomfortable in the normal ways and sometimes uncomfortable in the abnormal ways, it's just I'm at such peace with it at this point that like you can have a screaming baby on a flight and you can have smelly people on a flight. They're just like, yeah, no, I knew I was prepared for an uncomfortable experience for however long this flight is, 6 hours. Yeah, I knew I was gonna have a bad time for 6 hours. That's okay. I had a good time before this, and I'll have a good time after this. This is the bad thing, and hopefully I'll sleep, but I bet I won't. Yeah. But that's all right. This eventually this will stop.
That's a very good mentality, because then when you end up with somehow miraculously a seat next to you that's empty or whatever, it is like a gift from God.
Yeah,
it feels so good when suddenly something goes right on a plane. You're like, wait a second. We all just got on the plane, and then the plane took off.
Yeah.
That never happens.
The captain's like, guess what? Because the wind did some stupid wind thing, I think I'm going to get us there faster. I'm like, fuck yeah.
We're going to arrive 20 minutes faster. Okay, cool.
I don't love that there are still surprises in the air, but sure.
And also, having a kid, you're way more attuned to how many delays and like weird shit there is when you're trying to take off on a plane. Because what you want to do is... you don't give them a nap beforehand. You even get a flight for, you know, you're willing to go like within $200 outside of your range to get a flight that's during their nap so that mm-hmm. you get on the plane, they're very, very tired, you nurse them, and then they can go to sleep. And then you they don't bother anybody for a long time, and you're just another passenger on the plane. But if there's any delay at all, you're just sitting there with this cranky kid and you can't let go to sleep yet because you know that everybody's going to be talking. Yeah. They're going to do this, the safety protocols. The captain's going to get on and bullshit for a while. Like all these things are going to wake your kid up. So you're like trying to keep him up until takeoff. And it's the worst. And then when you're in the air, sometimes the captains just want to come on and do some bits. And it's awful. Or the like your kid will be asleep and then somebody will get on the intercom and be like, okay, well, we want to introduce you to our flight rewards program. If you get the credit card today, you can see in the program in the sheet in front of you that you could get 20% off all of your flights going forward. Like that, they're like holding you hostage for this 15-minute
commercial. That should be illegal. I know I sound like an old man or someone from the past, but that should be fully illegal.
Well, you're a hostage. You're trapped. You can't.
I have nowhere to go. There's nothing I could do.
You pause
and they're just trying to sell me a credit card.
Yeah. Anyway, there's all those things. You're hyper aware of all of them happening because you're just trying to keep this child asleep and it's not going to happen. The stewardesses are, you know, they're making themselves heard to the person who's over by the window as they walk past. And they're not, they've seen enough sleeping babies that they're like, I don't care if that baby sleeps or not. Doesn't change my day. So like, they're like, do you want tea? Tea? Okay. Do you want sugar with it? And you're just like, please, can you just whisper?
This is a crucial moment.
I will relay the information for you to the person who's in the window. It's just a nightmare and I'm about to live it again. My son is great now though, by the way, on flights. He gets on the plane. He has a little leap pad, which is like an iPad, but for children, and looks at that for 15 minutes and then goes, I'm tired. I'm going to take a nap. Great. And I go, yes, you should.
We all shop online. You do it. I do it. It's great. And we've all seen that promo code field taunt us at checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best ones it finds in your cart. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online. They range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. Picture it. It's you and you're shopping at one of your favorite sites. Don't need to tell me what one it is. This is a one-way conversation. You're at checkout, the Honey button drops down, and all you have to do is click Apply Coupons. Then you wait a few seconds, Honey's going to search for the best coupons it can find, and then if it finds one, you will watch the prices drop. Honey has found its over 17 million members, over $2 billion in savings. That's billion with a B, and two like the number. I had a race recently, and I didn't have a lot of time to shop, so I shopped online to get some running gear and some of those gels. And that's what I used Honey to find promo codes for. And they did. And how much did I save? $13. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid and supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ. Well, let's get into the show.
Yeah, let's do the real show now.
Hey, sorry, quick question.
Go ahead.
Are there design flaws on everyday items that really make you instantly furious? And I'll go first. And this was inspired by a tweet that someone did where they just very plainly expressed frustration with the fact that bacon never comes in resealable packages. And a lot of the internet did what the internet did and made jokes. And they just said, why would you need to reseal it? Every time I make bacon, I make the whole package of bacon. And that joke happened 7,000 or 8,000 times in a row. And every single time it was funny. Every time I went, ha, 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 it's very good. and every time it was original. And but I was still like going through that whole thread because I thought, no, but seriously, like at the end of the day, why not? This is also a frustration I have.
Yeah.
Because I always have bacon in the house. I never make the entire package. And your options are to like make it, your options are to let it go bad or wrap it tightly in foil, which is what I do. And now I'm, I, am going to have to buy more foil. Like, I just, like, it's just more and more things that I have to buy that I'm very frustrated by, especially because, like, resealable packages is a technology that exists, but yeah. Bacon hasn't embraced it, and not all deli meats have too. And I'm at a point financially where I will pay the extra money for resealable bacon, but I don't even see it anywhere.
Well, I'm going to twist the knife for you just a little bit here.
Do it.
I don't eat pig.
Yeah.
But I do eat turkey, and I eat a lot of turkey bacon.
You don't eat pig? I thought you just didn't eat beef.
No, I don't eat pig or beef.
When did pig happen?
I don't really know. It's just I started not feeling great after eating pork either, like just red meat in general. After I wasn't eating beef for a while, pork is less often an option. And when I finally like would eat it, I was like, I just don't feel very good. And so yeah. I stopped eating that too. But turkey bacon, something we eat frequently in our house, has solved that problem. Jennie-O, I think a couple others, they have resealable containers.
Yeah, how did they solve it? With technology that's existed for 1,000 years? Great. Kudos, yeah. Turkey. Yeah. Call bacon.
It's crazy that the real bacon hasn't. Like, that somehow this little terrible offshoot, because turkey bacon does not compare to regular bacon, but this stupid little offshoot has figured it out before big bacon.
It makes me wonder if there's some actual purpose for it, because like the cynic in me would just say, well, they do it so the bacon goes bad faster, and then you have to spend more money mm-hmm. and buy more bacon. But then why wouldn't all meats do that? Right. Because like some deli meats do have the resealable packages, so I don't think it's just a scheme.
It's dangerous to like be like, well, let's make
a product that every once in a while could poison our people. Yeah.
Could kill everyone. Yeah. So I think there's no reason for it not to have happened. You're right. With deli meats, I don't buy just like packaged deli meat because I'm made of money. And so
you go
what
to
I
like
do,
the deli counter?
Yeah. I go to like, I get the Boar's Head or whatever the really nice stuff is that they have over there. And those ones, they used to just put it in like that wax paper.
Yeah.
But they don't anymore. Now they put it in an actual resealable plastic bag.
That's right. I mean, I say that's right because I have wealthy friends. I'm a man of simple means, though, Soren. So yeah. I just watch them with their resealable things.
Without coveting. It's amazing that you don't covet.
No. Yeah.
But yeah, it's that problem has been solved too. But you're absolutely right. We still, if I go to the shopping late at night, which I do frequently during COVID, I have to get the bullshit meat. And it's such a terrible system. I put it in basically whatever the plastic bag was that I brought home fruit in, mm-hmm. it goes in that, and then I wrap it up. Like somehow that's going to seal it.
Yeah.
I wrap it around it a few times and then put it in. And then you go open that bag up and the bag is all moist on the inside and a little bit wet. And
there have been times where I've been cooking bacon and looking at the amount that I have left in the package and it's like, well, I don't want to waste another slice of tinfoil on two pieces of bacon. So I guess I'm making 6 pieces of bacon for breakfast. Jesus Christ.
I won't need any eggs or anything else. I think it's just going to be bacon from here until sunset.
Jackson, wake up. You're eating it too. Come on.
I'm sure he will complain.
This is your problem now.
Yeah, I have some in my life as well. Are you done or do you have other ones?
Yeah, that was all I brought today.
Yeah.
A tweet I saw that I agreed with.
I gotta put this on the podcast. Yeah, I've got two. One that I noticed recently because I had to deal with customer service and also just filling out forms at the doctor's office is once you've filled out one bit of information somewhere, that should be transferable everywhere else for the rest of that day. So like if I'm on a call and I'm in with some sort of automated customer service thing. I had to put in my information, put in my whatever the number is that is associated with what I'm dealing with, what my problem is, what my name is. And then when I get connected to somebody, I don't want to have to do all that shit again.
Absolutely. 100,000%.
It's the same at a doctor's office. You fill out so many forms and like schools too. When we're getting run into applying for school or whatever it is, the first page, you fill that out. After that, auto-generated. Like, or they should just there be somebody back there who says, oh no, once that we had that first page of information, we can apply that every single other place.
Yeah.
I just, the redundancy of it drives me bananas, and it sets me up to be so angry at whoever I talk to with customer service, because they're asking me questions that I've already answered and I'm mad.
Yeah.
Just like that, not for them, obviously.
Right. Yeah, I had that. I was trying to cancel a flight in December and called the number and talked to a person and here's my name, here's my confirmation number. And like the extra step for me is that I have the confirmation number written on my phone. So I say, hold on. And I look at my phone and then I put the phone back to my ear and I say it. And that is already so many more steps than I wanted to have in this process of canceling the flight. And like, okay, I can't cancel it because you ordered it through a third party. So I have to transfer you to this other person. And then I'm on hold again. And then, hi, who am I speaking with today? I'm like, God damn, the other person should have typed that onto a screen. Yeah. And then it should have showed up on your phone when it connected you to me. You should have known that I was Daniel. You should have known my confirmation number. Because now you're dealing with someone who's angry and you don't even know why, because you weren't there for that part.
Now are you coming in with zero prep? They had to transfer you. It drives me bananas, but
they just pick up the phone and they're like, hi, who's this? And it's like, someone who's already pissed off at you. Yeah. I'm at an 11.
Okay, can I just have some, for security reasons, can I ask a couple of questions of you?
No, I already answered it. Now you have to guess. Now it's your job to find the information.
I had this experience too, because I ordered a clippers recently, like hair clippers.
You bought, damn it.
What was that?
Yeah, I was going to do a joke about how you bought the LA Clippers.
But and then
you got in too fast with the truth. No, it's cool. I think it's important for people to see this kind of behind-the-scenes stuff, because normally the jokes flow so quickly and without any issue whatsoever. So it's important that they know that we're human.
I ordered hair clippers because I've been cutting my son's hair since the beginning of COVID, and I still can't. I can't take a child to a barber because he can't get vaccine anytime soon. So I ordered new ones because the old ones were pulling his hair. And I thought maybe it was the fault of the clippers themselves that they were like running low or something on juice. And so I ordered new ones and got this set of clippers, and it was a little bit different than it looked like in the picture. And I was like, this is weird. So I look at the model number, and the model number was wrong. And I was like, oh, this is just a simple mistake. And so I contacted the company and I was like, hey, you fucked up. This is just, it's the wrong ones. It's fine. I'd love to send these back to you and get the right ones. I got passed through so many people where I had to give the exact same information over and over on an email thread where the information was already there earlier.
Ooh, scroll up.
And I was so, so livid about the whole thing. And the real topper of it was that eventually I just got a notification from UPS that there was a package on the way. And I was like, oh, they sent them. And I don't even have to send these other ones back. They sent me the exact same clippers. It's just my blood is boiling. I'm such a dad. I gave up. I threw in the towel.
Yeah, that's fair.
I was like, I can't win this. Anyway, that's one of them. The other one that I have is I wear a lot of hats, and not figuratively. Like, I don't do a lot of different jobs. So I wear a lot of very physical hats, and they're all baseball caps. And baseball caps all have a little button at the top of them. Mm-hmm. And that little button, I've probably hit my head with that button over 10 times in like the past year alone.
What do you mean?
Walking into a small space, trying to sit up from underneath a table. Anytime that I hit my head, somehow that little thing catches whatever I hit my head on, which would have just easily been like an easy, oh, no big deal, I barely brushed something. That button instead takes the force of the blow and concentrates it all on the very, very top of your head.
You keep hitting the top of your head?
Yeah. Well, oh, so...
On tables that you're underneath?
Yeah. I work on different planes than you. I have children. I'm on the ground a lot. Or that's I'm down low a lot. And we're making forts. We're underneath the stairs. Like, we're doing different things where I don't fit. And when I try and get up, I frequently, this is less of a problem at home because I don't wear a hat at home, but we would go to museums or we would go to other places, children's spaces, parks. I hit my head on the bottoms of structures and parks so frequently. I just don't learn my lesson, but yeah. It's always somehow on that little tiny button at the very top. And it's so, so painful. And I don't think it's necessary. I think it'd be so easy to make a hat that doesn't have that thing. It's like an aesthetic at this point. And
yeah, I mean, they sell get rid of chef's hats.
I should just start wearing a chef hat. You're absolutely right. It drives me nuts.
Well, that's a solid answer.
One that you cannot relate to whatsoever.
I'm on board with you. Like I've bonked the top of my head before, so I understand that concentration of pain sent straight to the top of the dome. But it took me a second to see things through your eyes, because when you say it happened 10 times this year, I think, well, this is a user error.
Everywhere that I walk, I lead with the top of my head.
Soren's got to stop opening the refrigerator while tying his shoes.
I think that's probably the, of all the things that I have in my life, that one's like the one I get the most mad about. Yeah. And I think it is pretty regularly at parks, actually, that it ends up happening. Because my son loves to go down underneath the structure. Like, that's a big part of the game always. We are baby cheetahs or something like that. And so I got to crawl in these little stupid-ass spaces. And the minute I lift my head, I get so angry.
Yeah.
Oof. At him. Yeah, take it all out on him.
Yeah, of course.
Whether it's for work or play, a lot of us are going to be on the move again this summer. That's why we've teamed up with Raycon and recommend their wireless earbuds. If you order now, you'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order at buyraycon.com/QQ. You put in that little QQ, that's like saying, Soren and Dan sent you. And they'll say, we don't know who that is. And they'll say, well, you're supposed to give us 15% off. And they'll go, oh, okay, that's cool. We'll put it in. Whether you're listening to Steel Train or Selena Gomez, a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears can make all the difference. You get crisp, powerful beats at half the price of other premium audio brands. So go ahead, get a pair, and then pair your pair with your phone while eating a pear. Raycons look great and feel even better. They come in a range of cool colors and with customizable gel tips included for comfortable ear in-ear fit. So if you got kind of like a weird ear canal, like yours truly, and a lot of times those little earbuds just pop right out, the earbuds for a Raycon, they just fit right in nicely. That gel can construct specifically to your ear. And Raycons are built to go wherever you go with a quick and seamless Bluetooth pairing and a compact charging case. I recently just started going back to my gym, which I'm very excited about. I hold for applause. 3, 4. Thank you so much. Yes, I'm very excited to be back at the gym. I'm excited to be getting those sick gains again. But one thing about my gym, they play some trash music in there. So I like to listen to my own music. And that's why I use my Raycon earbuds. I like to pop them in at the beginning of my workout and they don't fall out no matter what I'm doing. And boy, do I have some weird workouts, ladies and gentlemen. Raycon's got a 24-hour battery life and it's got great portability. I like to make sure that I charge my Raycons, but let's be honest, that's not always a priority for me. So it's really nice when I can get to the gym after not charging them for almost a week, and they're still going to work for my workout. So listen up. Raycon's offering 15% off all their products for our listeners, and here's what you've got to do. You go to buyraycon.com/QQ to get it. There you'll get 15% off your entire Raycon order, and it's such a good deal. I don't know. Maybe you want to grab another pair as a spare. That's 15% off at buyraycon.com/QQ. As long as you're getting a spare, maybe let's just round it up to 10. Get 10 earbuds. Then you could keep them any place in your house and you maybe could give away some of your friends. You know what? You actually have quite a few friends. You're going to be seeing them again this summer. Let's round it up to 20. Get just 20 pairs of earbuds. Knock it out right now. You're set. buyraycon.com/QQ.
Hey, Soren.
Yeah. Can I go? Can I go? Like, yeah. Can I ask you a quick question?
Actively stretching and checking my watch at this point of the podcast. We've been talking for like 5 minutes. You brought a game, right?
I brought a game for us to play.
All right. I'm excited.
I thought it would be fun for us to try a little something new. Now, we know each other pretty well. We know each other's tastes pretty well, I would say, at this point.
Yeah.
And I know that there are certain movies that I'm going to watch and enjoy, and I think, oh... But Daniel would hate this. And I thought it would be fun if today we played a little game with songs. Now, you enjoy songs that go. Like, you enjoy, you wake up in the morning, you have a whole playlist of, like, songs that just, like, get you in the mood to, like, start your day. And I recently came across one, and I was like, this is a really good one. I should probably give it to Dan. And then as I listened to it, I was like, no, I know for a fact that Daniel would hate this song. It's got all the elements that he doesn't like in music. Yeah. And so I didn't give it to you. And then I thought, yeah, it would be a fun game for us to play where we bring our songs that we ourselves love, but we know that the other person would just hate. Yes. And we see if we're right. We want to, like, this is like a guess your taste game.
Yeah, I love this game. It's, I think, so much harder than identifying a song that you would like.
Yes.
A song that I would love that I think you would hate. I feel, I think, better about my chances than I do about your chances.
Okay. Well, because I didn't cheat here. I didn't bring the Decemberists, which I could have very easily done.
Yeah, that's fine. I didn't cheat either. The reason that I feel better about my chances is that you've recommended me music before, and I have liked it.
Yeah.
And, like, you've made me CDs that I still listen to. And, like, you gave me The Islands. You introduced me to that band. Yeah. And I love them, and I still listen to them. And I remember one CD I made you a Steel Train CD, and I gave it to you. And then we just never talked about it.
Fuck.
And... I might have brought it up at one point. There's no way this is how it went down, but I in my memory it was like, hey, I made you that CD, and you were like, yes, you did. Like, all right,
here. So I have to go find Steel Train again because I know that I definitely listened to this at least a couple of times, and then just gave up on it.
I was trying to take some lessons from what I thought were essential bits of that Steel Train album and apply it to the songs that I brought today, or at least one of the songs that I brought today.
Good. That's a smart move. I think I know you. So sometimes you have some wild card tastes.
Yes.
So I think that these songs, while objectively good, are songs that you would be like, no. And some of it has to do with the context surrounding the song, but I'm going to start.
Okay.
All right. This first one is, The musician's name is Daniel Rojas, and the song is called Don't Stop Now. Have you heard of this song?
No.
Okay. It's from a cartoon made for the cartoon. So already I feel like I'm on thin ice with you. Okay. Like, this wasn't some song, like somebody, it was a moment of inspiration where an artist was like, I have to get this on a page.
Now, is Rojas Spanish for tiger?
I think it means feminine red.
Oh, okay.
The cartoon is called Kipo and the Age of Wonder Beasts. Have you heard of this show?
I've seen the word Kipo on the internet.
Yeah, it shows up on Netflix. It's a very good show. I highly recommend it for, even if you don't have children, it's still a fun show to watch. And the song is called Don't Stop Now, and I would like to play it now. Sun shining in the east, and I'm coming from the west. Fast forward to the 105. How are you feeling about this so far, Daniel?
You know, Soren nailed it.
So this is like a song that, like, really pumps me up and makes me feel like good. And it's called Don't Stop Now. And they get into a part where it's like a don't stop now, like all this. And I'm loving it. Like, I divorce it from the context of where I found the song. It's just like, there's nothing to the lyrics, zero calorie lyrics. And I enjoy it so much. And I thought, this is a great pump up song. Not for Dan. Can you articulate why you don't like it?
The singer's voice, the second they come in, it's very aggressive. Not aggressive like anger or anything. It's just, it's very defined style of singing.
It's a choice.
And it's one that I just hate. There's a lot of modern pop influences in the diction that just drive me nuts.
oh, bullseye. Oh, I'm so pleased that I didn't
I've heard it now once, seconds ago, for the very first time in my life. It's stuck in my head. It's definitely catchy, but it's stuck in my head in like my memory is already bullying it.
Yeah, it's got like this sort of like cheerleader thing happening behind it, which I also knew you would hate. And all these things that I absolutely love. And it's just where our Venn diagram does not overlap.
Man. Just you working out to that song, having a time of your life.
Yeah, really flopping kettlebells around. Couldn't you just see it?
That's absolutely. That's a song I could feel like. I ran a race last week and had like a playlist with a bunch of music in my headphones on through Spotify. And then when you run out of your playlist, Spotify like pulls from songs that it knows that you like and a few songs that it thinks you'll like. And I was so sweaty that like I couldn't skip. Like my phone was hot and my hands were wet. So I was like, I had to listen to whatever thing was coming on. And I could see that song being like a real nightmare for me. Like there were some songs that came on that I was like, I guess I'm listening to Crash by Dave Matthews Band, even though that's not the vibe right now at all at mile 9 of this race. But that's one. If that came on while I was running, I'd be like, well, I'm going to just stop running. I'm going to wait for my phone or me to like dry off and I'm going to skip this song because I can't run to this. I can't exist to this song.
I would hear that song come on and I would be like, yes, carry me through. It really hurts it, I think, that it's clearly a song that somebody created because they had to make it for a show too. Where they were just like, oh, what's like a good peppy, like they got notes.
Yeah.
And then they were like, okay, I can make a song like that, sure.
Yeah.
Because there's just nothing behind it. There's no art in it. But yeah. God, I love it.
Let's play one of the songs that I brought for you. Let's play a song called Under My Skin by Jukebox the Ghost. Jukebox the Ghost is a band I love. Do you know them?
No.
Okay.
How much can you fit under your skin? How much can you fit under your skin? I wish you were dead, babe. I wish you were dead.
Yeah, okay. Dude, yeah, you got it. I was getting real annoyed real quick. The minute I heard the light piano at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is such a Dan song. You like piano forward songs a lot.
I like piano forward songs, and I like, which is not Steel Train at all, and I also like kind of janky-ass singers. I don't like very pretty singers often, especially when it's a song from a guy.
Yeah.
And this guy can be very pretty when he wants to, but he plays up kind of this odd singing and odd pronunciation style in a way that really resonates with me, that I really like a whole lot. But that I also thought, if there's something that Soren didn't like about Steel Train, it might have been Jack Antonoff's vocal choices, which are also very specific and very outside of the norm.
It's funny, like, because we both brought in like very affected like song lyrically, like how the person is singing. And in both cases, like in one, I have no problem with it. And in this other one, I'm just like, it's like nails on a chalkboard.
Absolutely.
yeah, he's doing a very affected thing. And he's doing that, like the lyrics are, they're that, you know what I would, it's like Reality Bites lyrics is what I would call it. It's like, it's so self-aware.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the lyrics are, but like the something about dying.
I wish you were dead, babe.
Yeah. It's just so, it's like not even earnest. It's something else. It's something where like, I know this would be a good lyric, and just, there's no covering the tracks. You see all the work going into the song, and I hate that.
I've been really trying to codify what I want from like lyrics and from a vocalist. It's just something that I've been idly thinking about for the last couple of weeks. I don't know why, because at the end of the day, nothing needs to fit a code. If I like a song, I like a song, and that's it. But like, my brother was playing me Stone Temple Pilots because he likes them a lot, and he was like in his mind, every one of these songs is a hit after hit after hit. And I was listening to it, and I was like, I can't stand this singer. He's just so like serious about it. But then I started to think, like, what do I actually want? Like, because singing music is such a silly thing, and it's all at the end of the day very theatrical. And the guy who's the Stone Temple Pilots guy, who's doing the serious like thing, he's doing that for theater, because I respect that, because there's something to embracing the part that you're playing. But I think the reason I like Jukebox the Ghost more is because he's so silly, and he often uses words that you don't hear in a lot of songs and phrasings that you don't hear in a lot of songs. And I think what I like about that is some kind of acknowledgement that, hey, it's really silly. It's like base level insane to get in front of people and sing at them about love and about life and about like how you think things are. This is a really dumb thing that I'm doing. So why would I pretend to be cool about it? Why can't I just be a little like circus clown? Because at the end of the day, isn't this dumb that I'm going to tell you what are supposed to be like inexpressible thoughts, and I'm doing it with music? Can we all agree that this is ridiculous? And now listen to how ridiculous I'm going to be to sort of embody that idea.
I completely disagree. That 1 foot in, 1 foot out of your song is like, it drives me crazy. It's like you're above it. It's like you're too good for this, and you're like, it's you're trying to win both ways. You're trying to say, oh, here's something really earnest, but whatever. It doesn't really matter. Look, what are we doing? We're all just monkeys up here on a stage. Like, I want somebody who's all in, and yeah. I need that. And so like
that makes sense.
Tim Minchin, Bo Burnham, like this music, Ben Folds Five, like they all have that same quality. We're like, they're singing really good songs, but at the same time, they're like, there's this other element to it of like, yeah, but does it really matter? And I'm like, stop that. Just let me feel something with this song.
All right, what's your next song?
Okay,
this
so
is fun. We should do 1,000 episodes of this. This should be the fucking show.
So next song, I don't listen to a lot of popular music, and I don't know if this is a popular song or not, because the songwriter is very popular. But this is something that came on my Spotify at one point, and I was like, yes, I love this. This is really good. And then I saw who it was, and I was like, oh, God, okay. All right, maybe do I like this person's music now? And then I went and tried it out and decided, no, I very much do not. There's just this one song that I love, love, love. And I know you'll hate it. So without further ado, Daniel, here is Bad Liar by Selena Gomez.
Strong start.
I was walking down the street the other day, trying to distract myself, but then I see your face. Oh wait, that's someone else. Saw trying to play a coy, trying to make it disappear, but just like the Battle of Troy, there's nothing subtle here. In my room there's a king-size space, bigger than it used to be. If you want, you can rent that place. Call me an amenity. Even if it's in my dreams. Fraction of my mind. Oh, every time I watch you slip and tie. Oh, I'm trying.
That, I really like the beginning of that song.
Deleted. Well, so yeah. Gabe has provided some context here. That bass line is sampled. That's the bass line from Psycho Killer by the Talking Heads.
Ah.
Which is a band that, yeah, you should like.
Yeah. That must be it. That's I didn't mind her voice, and I like her phrasing choices, and I loved how simple it was at the start of it, because I really like stripped down pop like that. I guess, okay. Like that Justin Bieber song, the Love Yourself song,
yeah,
is very simple and a perfect pop tune, but I needed this song to do something else. And it seemed like it was getting at that. And that's why I let this one run, I think, longer than any of the other songs that we've played today. It's like, and then it's got to do something, right? And then eventually, like, we crest the top of the roller coaster and another thing happens. And it just wasn't delivering, and I couldn't give it any more chances.
Maybe you didn't hear after she said, "Every time you serpentine, there's a little bell that rings."
Oh, Jesus!
Ding! And then it goes into the chorus. I'm trying.
And that was the thing. Like, really? I don't know when we'll cut this off for the episode, or how much you can hear. But like, I cut it off at "I'm trying," and Gabe didn't immediately cut it, and then my hackles went up. Then now I'm drowning at that point. You know, someone is sitting in my chest and is like, "I tapped out. Get off now. Get off. I tapped out.
These are the rules. These are the rules. You have to stop the song.
Stop the bus."
You're no longer in control, and how terrifying that is. So I'm not a huge fan of Selena Gomez, it turns out, but this song, there's something about it that like scratches an itch in my brain. I really, really enjoy it.
When do you listen to it?
The gym.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's a sexy song, dare I say. I think the lyrics are really good. She talks about, like, if you're the art, I'll be the brush. Like, this, like, it's very straightforward, but I still think it's really well executed. And then I love her voice. It's so good. And, like, such good choices in the song.
Yeah. I remember, I am looking up the lyrics now because lyrically really enjoyed the way it started. I was walking down the street the other day. That's a very simple thing to
I thought
say.
That might piss you off.
No, I liked it. I really enjoyed it because that's kind of the like a casual language in songwriting that we don't get all the time.
Yeah. It's got some.
Yeah, and otherwise... I also loved "Oh Wait, That's Someone Else." I love that. That's great. I never hear that in a song. I thought I but then I see your face. "Oh Wait, That's Someone Else." That's Bernie Taupin. But then again, no. I love that stuff. Give me more of that shit.
There's also a mention of the Battle of Troy, which I thought...
That I almost screamed when I heard that. You fucking on-brand goober.
Yeah. As soon as I heard that, the first time I was like, "Oh, tell me more, Selena." Are you into antiquity, sex and death in antiquity? Do you know the Greek ancients? Then there's like when she says, "You're taking up a fraction of my mind," I love things like that, where it's like, you're not like you're consuming every thought I have or anything like that. It's just like, it's driving me crazy. Like, there's just, you own this little piece of my mind. And it's making me mad.
Yeah.
But I don't know what "every time I watch you serpentine" means. I think that just rhymed. And she was like, it's a cool word.
Yeah. Serpentine is a fun word. Yeah.
It doesn't belong here. I don't think.
Man, that I'm trying. And that, like, the dissension of it, no, this is not for me. But she was closer, but you still win this by good. Introducing me to a song that I will never listen to.
Good.
Okay. Now let's bring in, there's a band I might have mentioned on the podcast before called, this is, I'm almost trolling
Lunch Money Criminal.
This one. This is almost a troll job. The band is Moxie Fruvis.
No.
They're one of the sillier, but one of the sillier bands I've come across, but they're also very good and talented, and I love them very much. They have since disbanded, and then one of the members of the band became a pretty popular radio DJ and interviewer, but I think has disappeared off the face of the earth amid some sex crime-related accusations.
Whoops.
I don't think there are any formal charges. My dim memory of this is his defense at the time being like, "Look, the stuff I'm into is definitely weird, and a lot of people wouldn't like it, but nothing I did is a crime. But anyway, goodbye forever." And then he was like, "Gone."
Oh, okay.
So you don't need to support the music anymore, but we're going to listen to Moxie Fruvis's King of Spain.
"Once I was the king of Spain.
Now I eat humble pie.
Whoa, my unspeakable wife, Queen Lisa.
Now I eat humble pie.
I'm telling you, I was the king of Spain.
Now I eat humble pie.
And now I work at the pizza.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Royalties loaded look good on me. Buried in silk in the royal boudoir. Are going nuclear.
Jeffrey or playing Grogano with the Princess of Monaco. Telling my jokes to the OPEC leaders.
Yeah, man, that's a nail on the head, Dan. I really, really hate it. I'm almost surprised that you like it.
I without exaggeration, sing this song every single day. It's on my playlist of singing songs for when I'm cooking at night.
It's got that. Yeah, I just, those dudes in the background doing the boop, boop, boop. I just see a bunch of guys in button-down bowling shirts and fedoras. It feels like it's from another time, like the early 90s.
Yeah.
And
well, they're from Canada, so you're half right.
It just, it's got that squirrel nut zipper vibe to it that I hate.
I honestly didn't think this one had a chance with you. and like subject matter too, because the song is truly about what he's singing. He was the king of Spain, and then if you listen to the rest of the lyrics, he talks about what a good job he did as king of Spain, and then you might wonder how he came to be living in Canada making songs after being royalty in Spain, and it's because he did like a Prince and the Pauper thing with someone who looked just like him. Like, he was king of Spain and then switched, and now that's why I'm in this band today. Like, a lot of their songs are about them being the band. It's very Tenacious D in that way, where they work in either Moxie or Fruvus or both in all of their songs. Yeah, or not all of their songs, many of their songs.
He vacuums the turf of the Sky Dome now.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate it. it's got like that. You know what it is? It's like, this is going to sound mean.
Go for it.
It's inherently not cool.
Yes. Yes.
And I do not like songs that are not cool.
But doesn't one of your favorite bands, correct me if I'm wrong, is Ween. And don't they do like some weird dumb shit?
Yes. And so I will admit also that some of Ween's stuff is completely unlistenable. they're very experimental. But when they get experimental, they also have, I don't know, there's the saving grace of darkness where like they get very, very dark in a lot of their lyrics, and it's weird stuff like lick the mucus off my brain.
Oh.
And lyrics like spinal meningitis how does that song go? Spinal meningitis is like, spinal meningitis got you down. Like there's some weird ass shit to it, but it's all very visceral and kind of dark. And for some reason, for me, that always saves the day.
Yeah. Because they're still serious at the end of the day. They're still serious, and serious is cool.
Yeah. When it's like, it's fluffy and it's like, we're all just having fun up here. And like, this is all just a big game. There's just some part of me that's like this inner bully that's like, you're not allowed to do that.
So where are you on Bare Naked Ladies?
I hate them. I hate them.
Because they've got some sad songs, and their former lead singer got in trouble for doing drugs, and that's very serious.
Yeah, they do get a little earnest, but I do not like them. I don't like all the pop culture references. I don't, like, it just feels, that I want my music, I'm going to have to backtrack, I'm sure, but I was going to say, I want my music to feel more timeless, and it always feels like an article instead of a book with a group like that, where it's like, oh, this is something very current and what's going on right now, and will have absolutely no lasting power whatsoever.
Man. This was fun. We should do this multiple times.
Yeah, we should definitely do this again. It's actually really fun to try to defend songs that you like and try and figure out what it is about them that you're really into. It's so clear. Your style is very clear to me, Dan. I think this is good. Yeah. I hate your style sometimes.
Thanks, man. I get that.
Yeah. It's the Ben Folds 5 influence, I think, that I just can't jive with.
Yeah, that's certainly one of the core eggs of the influence that's going to spread out and be everywhere. The weirder stuff will always be the dream theater side of my brain, which I didn't bring anything in like the theatrical prog rock, prog metal side of things, but that can be for a future episode to explore.
Yeah, I will probably bring in some songs that are more like narrative fiction yeah. front, that are like period pieces. I know that you will despise.
And I will say the Selena Gomez one was closer, but the first one reminded me of more of the music that I associate with you, which, and I'm not just saying this because you said you hate my music, but I think a lot of your stuff is repetitive, toothless nonsense. And and you might not know this about me, and our listeners certainly don't, but toothless is the greatest insult I have for music in my body. Whenever I'm railing against like modern pop music, like I can't find anything on the radio. It's just like all music today is toothless and no one is saying anything.
You're not wrong. A lot of the stuff that I like the most is it's toothless. There was a band in high school that I really enjoyed called Mill and Colin. And they're foreign, but it was like a punk band. It, not like a real hardcore punk band, like a very watered down punk band.
Sure.
But they had a album called Life on a Plate that I would listen to every single day. And the lead singer is very hard to understand. And it didn't matter to me. I thought I kind of understood the lyrics. I thought the songs were all very good and they meant something to me. And then I looked at the lyrics and I was like, these are the dumbest fucking lyrics I've ever seen. But it didn't change my love for the band. A lot of the stuff that I listen to, it's moving me on a different level. Let's say that.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think something you said, it's got to be well over a decade ago at this point that we don't have time to get into today, but maybe in a future episode. I mean, we have time. I don't feel like it. I want to go. I wrote... an unsolicited, unpaid essay about music in Sonic the Hedgehog. I just wrote this very long thing for what must have been my Tumblr at the time. And you talked to me about it at work, or you like IM'd me about it, and not in an insulting way, but just you didn't finish it. And your explanation was, I started reading this and then I realized we think about music differently. And then I couldn't go on with it. And again, not in an insulting way, but it's just like, it's clear we're getting different things out of music.
Right. A good example of this is Alex Schmidt, who's maybe one of the nicest people in the world, has never said a negative thing except for this one time when I gave him some music. I gave him Islands. I gave him the Islands, and afterwards I checked in with him. I'm like, did you like it? And he was like, no, I did not care for it. And then later I did a podcast of his long after I had left Cracked. And he was like, oh, and just so you know, like I revisited Islands and I still do not like it. I was like, okay, that's fair. It's all taste driven.
You never get a third chance with Alex Schmidt. I'll tell you that.
So I don't begrudge you for not liking this music. And I completely understand why you don't like it.
And like we're picking songs that we think the other person will like. Like there's some, the songs that I truly love more than any other song in the world, I think you would also like.
Yes.
And so I won't bring them to the show because if I'm wrong, we can't be friends anymore.
Yeah. I mean, you just casually mentioned 9 to 5 on the show
a
while back. And now I listen to it almost every single day.
Yeah. Because that song fucking rules.
It blows. Yeah. It's great. Blows in a good way.
Yeah.
Like it bangs. It blows, bangs?
Bangs, yeah.
Okay, well, I think we could wrap things up. As always, you can follow Daniel at DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD on Twitter. And you can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel, maybe. I don't know. I'm not looking at it right now. Let me pull it up. That'd probably be the better thing to do.
While you're doing that, I have noticed there's been like a measurable change in how people are interacting with me on Twitter. Since I've complained about it so much for the last several episodes, they're very timid. They're very respectful. It's so sweet. I appreciate it. I'm sorry for getting in your heads. Twitter belongs to you too. Just do whatever you want with it, guys. I feel so bad that people are like, I know he hates when people interact with him, but I just want to say he did a good job.
I'm like, is that okay?
Yeah. And it was like, I'm just don't move your worlds around me. I'm just cranky.
I've had people in my life who I didn't realize listened to the podcast, but then like when they mentioned the possibility of being guests in my house, they freak out about it a little. And I'm like, no, it's fine. It's okay. It's okay to be a guest. Like don't freak out about that. Okay. On Twitter, you can follow Daniel at DOB underscore Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren underscore LTD. You can follow Quick Question at QQ underscore Soren and Dan. Or you can email us if you've got a question of your own at QQ with Soren and Daniel at gmail.com. We also have a Patreon, and that Patreon is patreon.com/quickquestion. And most importantly, most importantly, you can follow, find, and hire our producer and sound engineer and editor, Gabe at gabeharder.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been a tremendous show. We'll see you again in 2022.
Bye.